Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living, found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he will be continuing with part 2 of Building God's Temple, as we turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 8, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's the thing we've got to remember. We're one. He who plants and he who waters is one. Again, Paul's saying, look, Apollos and I were one. Don't try to divide us. Don't try to get groups rallied around us. No, we're not having it. We're one. And that's the attitude that the leader needs to take as we look at other people that God's using. You know, we're all made of flesh, and we all battle with fleshly tendencies. We all battle with temptation to be jealous and things like that. You know, sometimes, and preachers that are honest will admit this, you know, when you see God blessing some other ministry, sometimes it's a little tough. You think, well, Lord, what about my ministry? So it's a thing that it's natural for us to struggle with those things sometimes, but struggle is what we need to do. We don't want to give in to it. We don't want to begin to resent or to be jealous or envious of somebody. We want to recognize that that's a sinful tendency. Lord, root that out of me. And, you know, one of the great ways to do it, because I've had those temptations in my life as well at times. And, you know, one of the best ways to deal with it is just start praying for that guy. Just praying God will bless him even more. And just rejoicing in what the Lord is doing through the ministry. Because we are one. We're not competing with each other. And then too, we can sometimes get so into our own movement that we're suspicious of any other movement. And if we hear that some other church is being blessed, then we automatically think, well, it's not a real blessing. They're tricking people over there. You know, they've got some gimmick or something. And, you know, we can't just say, well, God's just blessing them. But you know what? He is. It's okay. He can do that. They're his people too. they're our family. So he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Paul says we're working together with the Lord, Apollos and I. We're his fellow workers. You are God's field, speaking to the church. You are God's building. So Apollos and I, we're helping, we're working alongside the Lord in the field of Corinth. We're working alongside the Lord, building up the temple of the Lord in Corinth. And according to the grace of God, which was given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Now notice the words that Paul uses here, and he uses this over and over again in his epistles in regard to himself. He states always clearly, according to the grace of God which was given to me. What is grace? Grace is something that you don't earn, right? Grace is, we commonly define it as unmerited favor. Favor that has not been merited or earned. I didn't work for this. God didn't give me this gift or call me to do this because I'm special, more special than somebody else. I'm better than other people. I'm more holy than other people. That's not the basis for God's calling. The basis for God's calling is grace. By the grace of God, Paul would say later in this epistle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am because God just said, this is what I'm going to have you do for me. Boom, here you are. And I'm going to have this guy do this. And, you know, there he is. But whatever we do by the grace of God. So in the end, we don't take credit for it. In the end, we don't think that this is a result of anything that we've done. Now again, people are going to want to give you praise and adulation and all of that, but we have to resist that. Remember Peter in the book of Acts, in those early days of ministry there, they were just having that tendency to give undue credit to the disciples. And they would marvel, it says, at them. And then, you know, the apostles would remind them, this is God at work here. This is the God of your fathers. He's just fulfilling his promises. Remember when Peter went into the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius, he didn't know much better. He was a Gentile, but he fell down at Peter's feet. Peter quickly lifted him up and said, I'm a man. Don't do that. Don't worship me. We're to worship the Lord, because Peter understood the same thing. He was what he was by the grace of God. So Paul says, by God's grace, as a wise master builder, he laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now, it's important that we understand this. Paul is addressing here, especially in this early part of the epistle, he's addressing leaders. Now, remember, Paul planted the church in Corinth. He started the church. He preached the gospel. People came to Christ. He began to disciple them. A church was brought into existence. But then Paul left after 18 months. You know, 18 months, you're just getting started. I remember planting a church in London, and after about 4 years, the Lord called us to leave, and I felt like, Lord, we need more time. We're just getting started. So 18 months, it's not a whole lot of time. So Paul's laid the foundation, but he has to move on, and now others are going to step up, and they're going to build on the foundation that Paul has laid. And so he's going to speak to them very firmly right now because they're not building with the right material at this point. He's going to rebuke them. But like I said, I think it's important to understand the context is primarily speaking to leaders who are building the church. Quite often, this passage is interpreted as just, you know, a reference to the average Christian building their life spiritually. It certainly can have that application. But the primary application is not that. The primary application is to those who are building the church. So Paul says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So as a wise master builder, he laid the foundation. And of course, he laid the foundation on Christ. And unless the foundation is Christ, you don't really have a church. The sad thing that's happened historically, the thing that we can see around us today, is at one time the foundation of Jesus was laid and a church was established, but through a process of time, people have come in and they've hijacked the churches. You know, the liberal churches of the day are churches that have been hijacked. They were churches that were at one time built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but others came in at a certain time and took the church in a different direction. That's one of the sad things that's happened over and over again, especially in the denominational situation. But Paul says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, so he's talking to the builders, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. So here's the possible materials. And it's quite obvious which ones are preferable, right? Gold, silver, precious stones. That's what you want to build with. Wood, hay, and straw, you don't want to build with that. Now, remember the context. The gold, silver, and precious stones would be building on the foundation of Jesus with the things that God has supplied through his Spirit. Building the church God's way. Building the church upon the authority of Scripture, building the church upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit, building the church upon the commitment to prayer, seeking God. That would be building with the right things. The wood, hay, and the straw would be trying to build the church using the flesh. That's the contrast that he's making here. And some people do that. Some people have done that. They've attempted to build the church, not using the spiritual material that God has provided, but they have opted for the things of the flesh. Some people try to build a church on their dynamic, charismatic personality. But you know, that's wood, hay, and straw. And sometimes it's human wisdom and ingenuity that people apply to the building of the church. These are the wrong materials. And when you build with these wrong materials, there is a cost that comes with that. But Paul says this, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, being in the ministry is a very wonderful thing, but it's also something that cannot be taken lightly, because there's a day of accountability for all of us who are in the ministry. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day when what we have built is going to be tested. We're building on the foundation of Jesus, but there's a day when there's going to be a testing as to what the materials were that we used. Remember James, he said, "Do not be many teachers, for we shall receive the greater judgment." You know, again, there's something wonderful and it's glorious, and of course it's a calling, but it's a privileged position to be in. But there's, along with the privilege, there's a huge responsibility as well. One day we're going to give an account to God. And I think that this is something that a lot of guys have not got into their brain. Because the way some people do church, it's obvious they're not thinking that this is God's church, and they're not thinking that someday they're going to stand before him and give an account as to why they did things the way they did. We've got to remember that that is the reality. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Each one's work will become clear. The day will declare it. What day are we talking about? We're talking about that day when, as Paul says in the second epistle, when we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single Christian, do we realize this? Every one of us as believers is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's not to determine whether we go to heaven or hell. That's already determined by our faith in Jesus. What's going to be happening at the judgment seat of Christ is our works, our service, our devotion to the Lord, what we did with what God gave us. It's all going to be brought into account at that time. And so for those who have been church builders, if you will, people in ministry, they will give an account, not only for their personal lives, but they will give an account for their ministry lives as well. That's the day that Paul is talking about. And it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. The Bible talks about rewards, and sometimes we overlook that. We forget that salvation is a gift, but there's something beyond salvation. There are rewards or lack of rewards. Now you might say, hey, I don't care. As long as I'm saved, who needs rewards? I don't need rewards. You'll want rewards when you get there, believe me. You won't want to be in that crowd that's not getting the reward. It's not going to be a fun day. Now, just exactly what that entails, we don't know. The scripture isn't really clear on it. But the Bible is definitely clear that there is the possibility of an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, or a not so abundant entrance. And the scripture is always exhorting us for the former. We want the abundant entrance. We want to make sure that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or the reward seat, if we could use that word, that we are there to receive rewards. So now, again, this is applicable to those who are building the church. You will receive a reward if the work endures. If it was done with the proper materials, the things that God has supplied through His Spirit. If anyone's work is burned, so for those who have built with the wrong material, he will suffer loss. So, you know, there are going to be people that have been very confident here that they've done great things for God, and they're going to get before the judgment seat of Christ, and everything they did is going to burn, and there's going to be nothing left, and they're going to realize at that moment that everything they did didn't count because they didn't do it with the right material. They didn't do it with the right heart. They didn't do it the right way. And that's something that none of us want to have to face. And so he says, they will be saved, yet so as through fire. Wow. This is what you call getting in by the skin of your teeth. Just made it. But that's not what we want. We don't want to be ashamed before the Lord at his appearing, do we? You know, shame is a very unpleasant thing. You ever been ashamed of yourself? Ever been ashamed of things that you've done? And here in this life, we can do shameful things and feel very ashamed. And that's not a good experience, is it? Man, I don't want to have that experience magnified 1,000 times over in the presence of Jesus. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. So they will be saved, but yet as through fire. And so Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So he's speaking of the church collectively. And listen to what he says in verse 17. This is very heavy. He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Actually, the two words are the same. It should read, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You see, this is the thing that we have to take seriously. And anyone aspiring to ministry out there, you have to take this stuff to heart. God is very, very serious about his church. And he's very, very serious about the way business is conducted. And he's going to hold us accountable. And he says here, if someone destroys the temple of God, so those who are working, now Paul, remember, he's warning them that what they're doing, this division, this is potentially destructive. This could destroy the work of God in this place. And Paul's saying, if you keep doing this, if you destroy this work of God, God will destroy you. God will judge those who destroy his church. And it's happened. It's happened. And there have been people, and there still are people today, who have been in the ministry for all the wrong reasons. They've been in the ministry because it was something that made them feel good. It stroked their ego. It allowed them a platform to promote themselves and things like that. And I've known of men over the years who have taken that kind of a position and used their influence not to build up the church, but to destroy the church. And you can go all around the world and you can find in the wake of some of these people that have gone around, you can find one destroyed church after another. But there are judgments that come. You know, God, of course, is the one who decides when the judgment comes and when it doesn't. But Paul is giving us a serious warning here. The church is God's church. And man, I think of those people who have come in, like I said, and where a foundation was built. Think of historically like Methodism or something like that, the Wesleys and Whitfield and these guys, they laid an amazing foundation of Jesus Christ. But if you look at much of the Methodist church today, it's completely apostate. It's completely left the faith. They don't even believe the gospel. They don't believe Jesus is divine. They don't believe that he died for our sins. They don't believe that he rose from the dead. They don't believe the Bible is the word of God. But they still go on in their, you know, churches. So this kind of thing has happened over and over again. But here's the deal. God sees all of that. And as we see today, the infiltration continually of these kinds of liberal ideas and non-biblical ideas and, you know, with all the weird sexuality kinds of issues that are now pressing hard on the doors of the church, and there are people from the inside saying, hey, this is the new reality, and this is, you know, God never really was clear in the Bible, and we need to go with the culture and all that. Those people are destroying the church, and they'll answer for it someday. God will determine when. But we have to keep this at the forefront of our minds. There's a day coming when we will give an account. And that's true for church leaders, but, you know, let's just take it right down to our own personal lives here as we close. It's true for all of us. The foundation of Jesus Christ has been laid in our lives as we put our faith and trust in the Lord. But God wants us now, He wants to build His temple in our lives. And He's going to challenge us, and He's going to correct us, and He's going to bring us along to maturity, and we need to respond to that. We need to cooperate with Him. We need to respond to the conviction of the Spirit, and we need to seek to build with the right materials. You become a Christian, that's great. But now God wants to build His temple in your life. He supplied you with His word. He supplied you with people who are gifted to teach you. He supplied you with the Holy Spirit. He supplied you with the power of prayer. He supplied you with fellowship and the strength of the family of God, the body of Christ. And we need to take all of those things and apply them to our lives so we can build on that foundation, and we can become mature, and we can become spiritual. We can become the people that God wants us to be. And so, really quickly, these last few verses, Paul says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may really be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Paul's saying, look, don't divide up into your little group around this person. It's all yours. We've got the whole body of Christ. We've got all of the servants of God. They all belong to us, to one another. We're all part of the same wonderful universal family. Don't get sucked into that little sect, that little group of we're the only real Christians. We're the only righteous ones. We're the only ones that have the truth. No, lots of people do. There's a whole church out there. And they're God's people too. And they're our brothers and sisters too. And let's not get locked in to some little myopic view, but let's have that view of, hey, it's all ours. We're all together. We all belong to Christ. And Christ is God.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Fools for Christ's Sake, and we do hope you make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-7255. 6443 and request the message entitled Building God's Temple, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0189. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.